Ocean FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.
It was just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just that it's in your blood, I suppose. And you just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray, let me shake hands with you. You came in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I'll tell you nothing but a couple of pints won't do, I'll tell you, you know.
He gets a bit behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man.
There goes the hooter. There'll be plenty of questions asked about the Donegal performance, but you just have to take the conditions.
21 points Galway, Donegal 14 points. Yeah.
You have to take the conditions into account on any analysis of the game, and the fact that Shane Walsh was really on form in the first half, along with the goalkeeper and Rob Finnerty, and you know they were taking their 2 points with ease, and that margin at half time probably was always going to be a big challenge for Donegal's to get back 16 points, and they probably needed to get those couple of 2-pointers early on in the second half. That didn't happen. Then Darrell Wheel got a few, but there was still trouble, and Shane Walsh was able to come up with a couple of points at the other end. The real standout performer of the day. But overall, I say Jim will go up the road quite happy. It's probably a little black mark on his record, and the fact that he didn't lose a league match last year. He had only one draw, and this year 3 wins in the first 3 games, and now this 6-point or 7-point defeat. It's not the end of the world for Donegal, certainly isn't. I'd say he'll probably be happy enough he has to meet Derry next Sunday in Ballyshannon, and he'll probably target that game and maybe the Tyrone game as well. He'll hardly want to lose to Ulster opposition in the next couple of weeks. He has to go to Mayo in the final game, but I'd say even before that, depending on how things go, Dublin are going well, Galway going well, those two teams have to meet yet as well, but they're probably the favourites to be in the league final, Dublin and Galway, at this stage.
But if we beat Derry Tyrone, if we do, I don't know if we will or not, but if that could move us.
Galway have 7 now at the moment.
We still have to play Dublin as well.
Yes, and they have 3 games left.
I'm guessing Donegal, Dublin, Galway. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not Einstein's theory.
Two from those three at the moment, and. As you said earlier, whether Galway or Donegal want it or not, it's not ideal for them in preparation for the championship, seeing that both are out the following week.
It's a shambles, Peter. Let's call a spade, and it's a total disrespect to the league and to county teams because, you know, in the days gone by, and I don't want to harp on about the good old days or anything, you'd absolutely love a national title. Donegal only have won in 07, and the mindset, and Jim may or may not say it, or Pádraig Joyce may or may not say it, but Galway have to go to New York a week after if they make a league final. Donegal have to play Derry in the provincial championships. Yeah. And I know people might be listening to here and to the podcast later on and say, go and win the league. But I mean, teams put in such preparation and there's not a 3-4 week gap like we once had. It's a strange mindset where half of the supporters are nearly hoping we don't make a league final. It's madness. Yeah.
And that idea put forward by Martin McHugh last week, and it'd be something I would have thought of myself as well. The fact that is there a need to have a league final? The league, whoever finished tops of the league, probably should be winners. And that might be the way to gain that extra week. Maybe with the new championship format that has been passed at Congress this year, maybe will give us an extra week. But certainly there should be a break between the league and the championship, at least 2 weeks.
Because it would be a nice feeling when you're going well in the league, and Donegal have had huge turnouts so far for their league games. And wouldn't it be lovely to go, just imagine we got a league final, and let's go up there and, you know, if we can afford it, book in somewhere or travel in the one day and enjoy winning games. But you're always at the back of your mind going, well, we make a league final. Because let's be honest, the league winners in the last couple of years haven't had a great...
And then you have the problem then of the players winning a league final, you know, and they're not going to have the opportunity to actually enjoy it, because I'm sure there'll be a session on the Tuesday night or maybe the Monday night, getting ready for a championship the following Sunday. It's ludicrous in some ways that is happening, and yeah. As you say, a disrespect to both the league and the championship.
I wouldn't be too upset about losing these type of games. We've made loads of changes, more game time in. We saw a couple of lads make their first league start, welcome back a couple of guys like Jack McKelvey, Donal McKillar-Breja got in from the start today. It's given more legs. We've umpteen players, 8-9 possible championship starters not here, given a rest a couple of lads. We've lost a game in monsoon conditions away from home.
Yeah, the conditions, I suppose, were responsible for the way this game panned out. And looking out now on Pearce Stadium, you know, the wind has probably died quite an amount, but Shane Walsh and company really took care of business in the first half. It was just a joy to watch them putting over 2-pointers, 7 2-pointers in the first half, and really that was the difference between the team in the end, Paddy.
Okay, up next, it's Donegal manager Jim McGuinness, who spoke to various reporters in the immediate aftermath of his side's 7-point defeat to Galway.
It was a very, very tough day for football, let's be honest. Galway played the elements far better than us. We didn't play the elements well at all. Probably have done really well in the first couple of games in terms of how we sort of support the ball and use the ball and were clever with the ball and stuff. That wasn't the case today, you know, and obviously they went high with the press. Bad conditions. It was a challenge for us. The conditions were really, really challenging, and we didn't adapt as well as Galway did to it. Obviously Shane Walsh, I don't know what many he finished with, but maybe 5 2-pointers, you know. So he did adapt very well to the conditions and had a couple of moments of brilliance as well into the breeze. That free kick with the left foot off the ground was a brilliant moment as well. Good bit of learning for us today. So there is, you know, we have another big game coming next week. That'll be week 5, and thankfully after that we'll get a wee bit of a break, you know. But yeah, we had a lot of players today. We had a couple of lads with niggles. We didn't want to take too many risks with them, so we didn't put them into the firing line. And you know, Galway got the scores on the board, and it was probably a wee bit too much in the end for us to claw back. No, it wasn't because of that. We're just trying to manage him and build him as much as we can. Paddy had a wee bit of a niggle, and Owen Bann, Ryan McHugh, a couple of the rest of them, just freshening them, to be honest with you. You know, they played a lot of football. They played every game in the pre-season, and they played every game in the league. So we just felt, now, you know, fourth weekend in a row, National League, it's a tall order for anybody, so we just felt we would take them out of the fire line and give other fellas a chance as well. That's important too.
Yeah, at times Galway seem to have a little bit more intensity than you play.
Yeah.
Is that because of the changes or just them being at home?
I suppose it's a good question. We'll have to go back and look at the tape, I suppose, from that point of view. You know, Galway done very well in the breaking ball in the second half, but we did really well. There was very little in it when it was all played out between us in the first half and them in the second half. So, you know, there was moments there where there was intensity, but they definitely stepped very aggressively. You know, they made a lot of contact, you know. And I suppose that maybe they know the elements a wee bit more. They know that when you're playing against the breeze, that's what you need to do, and it caught us off guard a wee bit maybe. I'd be happy with our lads. You know, they battled away the whole way to the end there. And as I say, you're not going to win every game. And we got 6 points on the board last week, and it gives us an opportunity to do other things now, and that's what we plan on doing. We're not planning to lose any game. Like, you know, it's a matter of trying to look at things and develop sort of things, you know, maybe one or two tactical things every single day, change that up and look at things and look at players. And obviously today, rest a few lads as well, so that's what we wanted to get out of the day. We would have preferred to be more in the game for a longer period of time, but once them two start going over, you know, very quickly, it becomes a big, big margin, you know. And even though we brought it back to 7 in the end, it never felt like we were going to win the game.
Did Keelan win the toss?
Keelan won the toss.
So you opted to go.
Uh-huh.
What was the thinking on that?
that we could defend, I suppose. You know, you're going to have to play against it sometime anyway, you know.
Yeah.
We did have players on the bench as well that we thought maybe might make an impact off the bench, and if we had the breeze in the second half, we might be able to get them into the game. That was another part of it, but all these sort of wee nuances, I suppose, are easy enough played out after the event, you know. Sometimes we go with it, sometimes we don't, you know, and we felt because the boys in the bench today, it was the right thing to do.
Did you consider at half-time doing something a bit different? Like we were saying, like maybe you might take Sean off and put Kieran Thompson in goal or something, I don't know.
I know, listen, we did consider that, yeah. To be honest with you, you know, but I suppose it was just one of those games, and there was enough going on with another dynamic being fired into the play, you know. But all of that sort of does come into your mind, you know, with the new rules, obviously. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Galway had a man sent off and two black cards, and they'd one man up, and we had to leave three men back. You know, that to me seems farcical. I don't know, you know, I don't know what to say about that, to be honest with you. That's an unintended consequence on the extreme side of things. But anyway, you know, it made not one difference to the game. That Galway had a man sent off and two black cards. It didn't make a jot of a difference to the game, because they were able to attack the way that they were attacking up to that point. So that's definitely something, I don't know, that would certainly need to be looked at, you know.
And it's like the two-pointer thing, taking the need to get goals out of the game. You don't see now, at half-time you're thinking that Donegal can do what Galway did, obviously. There's not as many goals flying around, really, in general.
No, and that's maybe another unintended consequence, you know, that teams are looking to get their shooters. You know, you can see it in all the games. People are sort of, you know, inside forwards are coming deep. They're looking to get on it, Shane Walsh today, and they're looking to get two-pointers on the board and get those numbers clocking up. But there's not the same. In fairness to Dublin last night, they were goal-hungry. They were very ruthless when they had their moments. But I think across the whole league, I would be surprised if the goals were up on last year. I definitely would be surprised.
Must
that.
Have okay, but,
and that would have been something that the FRC were targeting. So it's all, you know, what is it, round four now? All of those things now, I think, will start to sort of permeate into everybody's mind in terms of what they need to do in the summer.
Yes. Is Donegal's lack of goals a worry? Like, because even going back to the end of last year, you know, in the big games and. No, Ulster final against Galway, and you're in semi final against Tyrone, maybe in Balboa Bay. You weren't getting goals either. That's four games without a goal. Is that a concern?
No, it's not a concern. No, it's something, obviously, you want to be scoring goals, but it's not a concern. We've won three in the bounce and we've lost one, you know, that's the bottom line. And we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Everybody wants to score goals, but it's just important that we keep working on all aspects of it and not zeroing in on something that's going to maybe send us in a different direction, you know. So, no, listen, you want to be, you know, a goal now is probably not as important as it was before, and you can see that today for sure. But no, I wouldn't say it's a concern, but obviously, you know, anytime you get a goal, you'll welcome it as well, you know.
Jim, how's Michael Langham and maybe the wider injury list as well?
Michael's improving. He's not that far away. He's probably another couple of weeks away, you know, in terms of where he's at. We have a number of players returning this week, you know, into the squad, which is positive. We'll focus on that and work with those lads over the next couple of weeks. But yeah, listen, we'll take the positives from today. We'll take the learnings as well. We'll go down the road and start planning for Derry, and that'll be another big game, you know.
Yeah.
They'll be back in training this week. All them lads are back in this week, which is good. Ken McGettigan, Oran McFadden Ferry, Steve McMenamin, there's four or five there that are returning.
Jim, there's a review from the Football Review Committee after round five. Is there anything that you'd be looking for to be tweaked or implemented at this stage?
I think you need to be very careful when you're asked a question like that, because a lot of time it's answers are taken out of context. But I do think what happened today is a bit farcical. I think when you're the opposition of a man sent off and the two black cards and you have to leave three back to mark one man, there's something not right there. So clearly that would have to be looked at, you know. But in the main, I've said it in earlier rounds, whatever they decide to go with, we'll coach to the rules.
Are you looking forward to playing a bit of football where the weather isn't having much of an impact?
Yeah, certainly. I'm also looking forward to the weekend off. To be honest with you, I'm looking forward to that. After next week, we'll get a weekend off. So we're looking forward to that. But like, I'm glad that the championship is not played in the winter anyway, that's for sure, because that's it's a different game. Really, it's a different game in many respects.
What about the tweak to the championship next year? Have you any?
I think that's good. I think it'll eliminate dead rubbers. It'll put a premium on teams trying to get provincial finals. It'll make the provincial championships more competitive, as a result, I would suggest. So I think it's good. A game less as well, which is good. They're going back into August with the championship anyway, so maybe there's an opportunity, you know, if they do it right. We were talking about it last night. I think there might be an opportunity for 2 weeks between every game, and without doing much at all. And I think that would be very welcome, based on the intensity levels that are required now, and it will probably improve games as well and help families that are trying to get to the games, which has been lost in the ether, you know. Also, championship now, you've played over 3 weeks, and expecting families to, you know, if you get to a final, to cough up three times, you know, in the one paycheck. So I don't think that's right as well. I don't think that's in line with our ethos. I think hopefully they'll find a couple of weeks.
I was just going to ask you about Ballyshannon. Like, it's quite a strong record there. You've never lost, I think. It kind of gets overlooked, I suppose, with Ballymafay being so strong. So you're there next week.
We're there next week, Alan. I didn't know that. So thanks very much for putting that bit of pressure on me now. Gonna get another record to lose. But the team is Donegal, and Ballyshannon is a very important part of South Donegal. You know, Letterkenny the week after that, Ballymafay, you know. So it's a fair trek for the people from Inishowen. But I think it is important to bring the games all the way around the county as much as possible. And keep developing the game.
And one of the best pitches in the county now as well.
Very much so. Great surface.
Okay, up next, it's outgoing Donegal Central Delegate to Central Council, the one and only Sean Dunyan, of course, of the Four Masters Club, who lobbied hard and spearheaded, I know, along with many, many people, including Chairperson Mary Coughlin, for National Congress to take place in your own hometown of Donegal over the weekend. Just small weekend, was it? Not much going on. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was an incredible weekend, and I suppose, as you said, a huge amount of work went into it since the end of November, particularly in the last 3 to 4 weeks. And I suppose what's so satisfying today is that it ran off so well. The feedback that we've received over the last 24 hours has been phenomenal. I think a lot of people were coming to Donegal Town for the very first time ever. I think they've been overwhelmed by the welcome, the hospitality. The hotels really were absolutely fantastic, the Abbey and Central Hotel. And the general atmosphere and the hospitality experience. It was just a great event. And so we're delighted that we were able to host it and had the facilities in Donegal Town to host it, and it was a great success.
I got about between 13 and 15 messages this morning from people from other counties, because I'm based between Longford, I used to live in Galway and teach in Dublin, I'm all over the place, and they couldn't get over how well run it is. And it's hard to get compliments sometimes in this country, and I even saw online neutral observers going, Donegal Town and Donegal GAA put on a phenomenal show. And usually online, it's normally negative people, but it's good to kind of leave it. So you must be really proud of that.
Absolutely, very proud. I suppose it was it meant a lot to me that I was able to take had an influence in getting Congress to Donegal Town. I suppose it was very important for me that we were able to give something back to the Abbey Hotel, and Liam Clancy in particular, who has been an unbelievable supporter of Donegal GAA for decades now. So it was important to give something back to him. But I'd have to say, look at the support that I got, as you said, from the chairperson, Mary Coughlin, Kieran Kelly, Emlyn Hughes, Sinead Breen. That would have been probably the mini committee that was put together to make the arrangement for Croke Park. So huge amount of work. The logistical effort that was required was huge. But people don't realise World GAA were there from Thursday. So there was a series of meetings going on Thursday. Then on Friday morning, there was other meetings going on, side meetings, Central Council meeting. There was a management committee meeting. There was 4 workshops. Then there was 370 people fed at 6 o'clock and between the Abbey and Central. And then Congress started at 7:30. And on Saturday morning, Congress started at 9:30, and over 300 people had lunch and were able to go home then on Saturday afternoon. So a huge logistical effort, but well worth it.
If you're hosting people for the Christmas dinner, there's pressure on it. Mm-hmm. Sean, I'd be getting nervous anyway. I don't usually get the big jobs. How much pressure was there? Did you all feel as a group in that you're holding this event of this magnitude in a beautiful town like Donegal? You're really conscious, aren't you, of putting on a good show. How did you feel leading up to it?
Look, it was I was nervous, but I knew we had put in the hard work. The staff, the management and the staff of the Abbey Hotel and the Central Hotel, like, there was no stone left unturned. We had an event plan that was very well structured. We had thought it out to the nth degree. We had shuttle buses. We did everything that we could to make it as easy as possible for the delegates and the media and the Crow Park staff that were coming. So we felt confident, but until I wasn't happy personally till everybody was fed on Friday evening, and people were going into Congress, and I knew the biggest part of it was over at that stage. So I was content on Friday evening, and I knew the rest would take care of itself.
I don't think we need to go through the motions at the moment. There's loads of different highlights and that of that. You can look that up yourself online. Yeah. I'm tired after the game. In terms of other people, and I know you're very modest, other people have been coming up to me all morning telling me how much you lobbied for this, and I had a great chat with Kieran Kelly and Jacinta and so on, and many, many more, and they were just full of praise and endorsements for you. And it's not often you get that off St. Noll's people to Four Masters, but tell me about that lobbying process, and tell our listeners, how did you go about, what do you have to go about and do to get National Congress in Donegal?
Well, I suppose it works on a 3-year cycle. On the year of an incoming president, it's within his or her home county. So it was in Newry Armagh last year. Next year it will be in Crow Park, because there's an election of a new president then next year. And then on the third year, Crow Park looks for expressions of interest. So we put together a very strong application. We wrote an expression of interest. We highlighted what Donegal Town had to offer. Then there was a visit by Crow Park staff, probably about the middle end of October. So we showed them. We went through the whole, the two hotels, the meeting rooms that are available, the restaurants that are available. But I suppose the biggest concern was the ballroom in the Abbey able to facilitate 370 people. Thankfully, we got great advice from Crow Park, and I suppose the big thing that made the difference was we were able to rent in 18-inch tables rather than your traditional 2-foot, 2-foot-4 tables, which created the extra space. And actually, it was very comfortable in the ballroom then when all the tables were set out. And when they were set out on Tuesday evening, that was another milestone for me, that I knew the room could comfortably. It's a grand looking at it on a map for a drawing, but until the tables were set out, I was I was comfortable last Tuesday evening that, yeah, this was going to work.
Okay, fair enough. I said outgoing at the outset. Apologies for the use of repetition there. So you're outgoing. What's the role for you now in the next couple of years? You've already been, you're still a young man, a brilliant servant of Donegal GAA, a club and county. What's the plan over the next couple of years?
I've no big plan, as was you know, Paddy. I'm the team liaison here with the senior footballers, so that's a role that keeps me involved and keeps me busy. So I'm the link there between the team management and the county executive. My cousin Barry Dunyan, of course, he's taken on the senior team manager of Four Masters, so he has pulled me into the backroom team there in a logistics communication, and I can see the role expanding already.
First cousins, yeah.
So I'm going back into the club and doing a bit of work there, and I'm still I'm the chairperson of the Medical, Scientific and Welfare Committee in Crow Park, so that keeps me busy as well. So I have that another 2-year term to serve under Jarlath for that, so that'll keep me busy.
It was a couple of different difficult years in Donegal off the pitch at admin level. In any institution, whatever it is, sporting or otherwise, it is imperative that people pull together. And I just get the feeling, and I'm only a commentator and a Donegal supporter, I get that feeling though. There's a buzz on the pitch, but what I think maybe some people don't get to see, it is vital that people are working together off it. And that's the feeling I've been getting recently, and I think both are interlinked. It's, these are working well together, and there's definitely, again, while there's an air of positivity on the pitch, I'm getting it off the pitch as well, maybe that other people don't get to see, and that's so important, isn't it?
Oh, it's absolutely critical. All successful teams, be it in hurling or football, you have to have everybody rowing in the one direction. That's from the chairperson down through the county executive. County committee, very important too, to support the county executive. And because, look, financially it's a tough business to be in now. It takes a lot of money to prepare inter-county teams, and be that from senior right down through the academy level. So you need everybody working in one direction. There's a huge effort going into the fundraising under Kieran Kelly and the fundraising committee.
He's doing a great job, isn't he?
Phenomenal. Like, you know, all you'd have to do is look at the accounts last year at convention, and and that's the type of money that's needed to come in. There has been huge support, both from the supporters, but too from corporate and all the companies, both locally and abroad. It's been phenomenal, the support. And I suppose, look, Jim brings that too, you know, the team's going well. Last year was probably was an incredible success that we might, and we were optimistic last year, but certainly it was a fantastic success. And of course, the great man himself making an appearance again last Sunday has even lifted the county more. So everybody's working very well together, and a lot of hard work needed. And I have to say too, that what an incredible result for our hurlers today in Letterkenny, beating Kerry. You know, that is phenomenal, and the work Mickey McCann and his backroom team and everybody working together there as well, you know, we should be very proud of them too.
Yeah, and I know people contact me on the podcast, cover the hurlers, the ladies and everything. I can only cover, I suppose, what I'm at, but the hurling is definitely something that's just growing and growing in Donegal. I wish I could get to see them more. A lot of the times it clashes, but it's incredible. And some people just think it's the senior county team, but you run through all the different grades, and male and female. It's not easy, is it?
It's not. I think Mickey's coming into his seventh or eighth year as senior team manager, so that he has brought players through over the last number of years. So this is a different team than what he would inherited and had at the start. So look, huge work, and those players only ever come through from the underage systems and structures that you have. So you know there is huge work going on as well at underage hurling level. So no, it's very positive both in hurling and football at the moment.
Last one, we saw the Irish Open, you touched on it at the start, we saw the Irish Open in Ballyliffin, I think 2018, what I loved about that, pictures of our beautiful county, and there's so many expats, I suppose, I'm a half one myself, currently not living in the county, but so many people globally, but when we host something, doesn't even have to be GAA, and we put on a good show, we show people from down south, and the southeast, southwest, and they come to Donegal, it's not just about Gaelic football or sport, as we're showcasing our county, showing the brilliant businesses we have, cafes, restaurants and all, and because it is a beautiful place.
Absolutely, and I suppose that was something that I had set out, and one of my aims was during when putting in the application, it was we worked very closely with Falch Ireland and the Donegal County Council Tourism Unit, because we wanted to showcase the county. One of my ambitions was that people came up here, had a great experience, and would want to come back again. And I think I got that today. As soon as I walked in here and I met the Galway chairman, he just thanked me for a brilliant weekend. He says, before the summer's out, I'll be back in Donegal for a few days. So that was good enough for me, that we did our job well, and people had the experience and will want to come back again. And that's a win-win.
You mentioned back to Donegal. You'll be getting a taxi back if I don't let you go, Sean. So
I would say, with the traffic that's out there, I'll catch up. I would say
it's horrific. Let me tell you.
I said, well, we're not going to be home anytime soon if anybody's waiting on me at home.
Yeah. Maybe some of the fans should stop off for a pint. Sean Dunyan, outgoing Donegal Central delegate to National Central Council, lobbied hard, spearheaded this along with a number of people. Congratulations on hosting an incredible event over the weekend.
Thanks very much. I'm delighted, and thanks very much for the opportunity to explain to the listeners.
Okay, just a reminder, Galway 21 points, Donegal 14 points. Delighted to be joined now by Galway Bay FM and national broadcaster Jonathan Higgins for the Tribesmen's opinion. Your thoughts on that?
good day at the office, really, from the Galway perspective. One of these games where two informed teams really coming together. The two, I suppose, the eyes of the country were on this one, really, weren't they? Both Donegal and Galway have been probably the most impressive teams to date over the course of the first three rounds. And look, and the first thing being said is anyone that has been had the pleasure of being down in Salt Hill knows that the best of days, as you giggle in the background there, the wind off the Atlantic coast, just a couple of hundred metres at our backsides, is telling at the best of times. Today the weather had a significant impact, and I'm not quite sure of one of the decisions that Jim McGuinness, I suppose there's multiple while he's making the trip up the road. One of those is the fact that they won the toss and elected to go against it, which seems a little bit baffling at the time.
Oh, Donegal won the toss, did they?
Yeah, so which I found a little bit staggering, I have to say. Usually you would say, like, each their own, and who am I to question the expertise of Jim McGuinness, but it felt like there was going to be a significant advantage at half time, and if you could hold it in the second half, you probably would be enough. And look, a lot of changes really is on both sides. It's a game I'm not quite sure whether both teams wanted to win, but do they really, really want to win it? The league has got to that situation. And I touched on it there in the fact that Galway and Donegal had probably secured their safety prior to this game. So that definitely takes another tangent. You don't know how much training is going on. At the moment, there's so many other factors. No Michael Murphy today, etc., etc. You know, there's so many tangents. At the same time, you know, Pádraig Joyce isn't risking Damien Comer, he's not risking Paul Connery, he's not risking Keelan McDade, etc., etc. So it is that, you know, smokes and mirrors such a situation. I suppose what we can focus on is on the 30 players are on this, and the 28 and 29 for periods of the second half, was that Galway played the elements quite well. And we saw that in the first half in Celtic Park last week, where Galway really went after Derry and squeezed them and had a significant advantage at half-time. Now, they fell to ribbons in the second half and couldn't keep it. Today, they got a lot more with the wind at their backs. And Shane Walsh, you know, I remember chatting to him at a challenge game before Kildare, the start one, and he was talking about how it's the first time in so many years that he's got a proper re-season, and he's almost rebuilt his body back to after being pulled, stretched, dragged, and everything of the above the last couple of years been patched up. And look, you can see that over the course of the campaign, but three rounds is probably the most informed player, certainly catching the highlight in terms of, look, the shooter, and look, his shooting was immaculate in the second half. Yes, breeze and all that that goes with it, but as you can tell in the second half, I know Boyle got a few there, but certainly not the same volume that Galway were shaving them off. And then Conor Flaherty in goal was an interesting one, wasn't he, as well? He's an outfield player. We'll probably see much more of this unless that rule gets tweaked by the FRC, where a goalkeeper he was played as an outfield player, plays in goal for his club, comes out, I'd say right in front of us on halfway line there is where he spent the majority of the first half, got a 2-pointer of his own, and then, ironically enough, switches at half-time then, and it goes for the old school drive it long goalkeeper in Conor Gleeson. So look, when you are 16 points up at half time, yes, there was a moment of debate, high impact hit by Matthew Tierney just before half time, it results in the red card. You thought that might have been the motivation, because there was a bit of spark on the sideline then as well, you know, respective benches were having a right good chin wag. It was one of those where the ref didn't appear to see it, and then you can see him going to his ear, and he comes back, and it's blatantly, and it's given, and certainly even speaking to Pádraig afterwards, sly enough dig back, he's like, the Donegal backroom staff got what they wanted, and they were shouting for the red card. You know, that's what you really love, isn't it, that little bit of needle back and forth. But I thought that would spark Donegal. It didn't really. Galway were quite composed in the second half. The work with
Jim and Pádraig will be texting each other about that one tonight. They're good friends.
Yeah, they'll share a point. They might share a sociable point over that one later on. But it's funny how the friendship can go to one side, isn't it, during the cold heat of battle. But I generally thought there might have been a bit more spark in Donegal. But then the question is, did Donegal really want to win this game? That's the thing. Because with all the messing team sheets and team in the programme, the team that's read out in the PA isn't the correct team, the team that's been sent up, you know, there's a lot of mess in it. Like we were chatting there, I actually just went and got a sheet of paper and wrote out the committee team, because you couldn't be scratching and squiggling out the programme. Like, and the fact that was still read out in the PA system, I think, on a side tangent, I think that's a farce, really. Any punter that's playing for a programme should get a lot more quality of service. But look,
It's hard enough with all the new rules. There's 49 motions, 7 new enhancements, and I'd have mared out in Killarney as well, because it's not just team changes, but when there's number of changes then, especially with the opposition. Okay, you kind of know what the Donegal lads had for breakfast, you know what the Galway lads, what colour socks they're wearing when they wake up in the morning and they're going to Sunday Mass or whatever, but when it's an opposition team and you have 3 or 4 new players in it, that's where it gets a little... Of course, I know the John Mahers and the Robbie Finnerty's and Shane Walsh's and so on, but it is quite difficult. You mentioned how much either team wanted. I think it's a shambles, and I've already said it to Peter Campbell. Our second competition is the National League after the All-Ireland, okay? And Galway have to go to New York a week after, you know, a possible league final if they make it. Donegal have to play Derry in the Ulster Championship. Galway will get over New York, no disrespect, but they should, okay? Then I think it's a week to Roscommon, so it's kind of crazy. It's disrespectful to the likes of Pádraig Joyce, Jim McGuinness and these guys, because supporters, you know, it would be nice to go and actually win a national title, but there's this apathy towards... Like, I'm coming down here, and to me... I don't care Donegal lost today, and normally I'm depressed for 3 weeks if they lose a championship game, but I'm like, move on.
Yeah, and I don't think Jim McGuinness is probably going to be overly concerned about it either. Like, there's probably facets of the game that he'll be disappointed with, being the perfectionist that he is, but ultimately no, and look, that's... We'll have to spark up the microphone and maybe have a couple of sociable drinks, but the biggest problem here is the structures of the relevant competitions in your neck of the woods, with Congress again at the weekend, and they've pretty much decided, you know what, we'll go back to what we kicked out of touch 2 years ago with the new football structure coming in 26. So I don't know really what we're doing. For me, we've seen how competitive Division 1 is this year. I think the league has got a bit of a boost, particularly in Division 2, where you have the 16 places in the Sam Maguire. So all of a sudden, jeopardy becomes a lot more tangible in terms of that. But I think ultimately, and look... we'll piss a few people off with this, but ultimately, the respective... provisional championships need to be parked at the start of the year and then run your league afterwards, because this is the best competition. But as you've rightly touched on there, it's watered down, it's stretched, it's diluted, because we're seeing flashes of the brilliant competition. But can you imagine if that was hell for leather now, and that was really, if that was the All-Ireland series, shall we put it, you would be in for an enthrall and run in, the place would be wedged. You'd have a lot more drama. You certainly wouldn't have all the dummy changes and people being rested and left at home. Paul Conroy, the Cole, was left out. Michael Murphy, I'm not quite sure. I'd imagine it's like you don't want to put your good racehorse out in conditions that you fear an injury or whatnot. And particularly, of maybe, is it quite stemming the hope or the hype after last weekend as well? Like, he became the talk of the GAA last week. So there's so many stuff here that you shouldn't really be talking about in a game like this. You should be talking about the game on its merits and what it potentially could be. And it was still, even... with that structure that's coming in place next year, it's still not right. And yeah, look, we were being in that scenario, weren't we, what, 4 years ago now, is in Congress, where they tried to bring in the new series, but the provisional councils will say no, no, no. And look, that's always going to be the way. But I think that's an easy way out, isn't it? Play them first, and then play your league as your championship, and I think everyone's a winner. It feels so simple, isn't it? But there's a lot of red tape and a waterwork. But I've gone off on a mad tangent there. But it is, like, this Division 1 is as stacked as possibly ever been. And yet, and you're going to see more of it now, because the curse of Derry, the curse of Mayo over the last couple of years, where they've had, you know, particularly Derry last year, absolutely out of the block straight away and fell to smithereens in the championship, and Mickey Hart's tainted. I know he's coming back in a bit of renaissance again with Offaly there, but the whole Derry football seems to have gone back a lot as a result of that kind of... that negativity and the bit of depression that it's left in their mindsets. But yeah, it seems like an easy fix, but particularly now, as I touch on, between now and the end of the campaign... like, both sides today are safe. Are they going to go anymore? I think you've touched on there rightfully. Galway can probably put the shoulder up because they're going to beat New York. I don't think Donegal want to be in the final, and I'd imagine, from your perspective, you might need the red buyer out a few more times in the team sheet.
I can't afford parking in Dublin anyway, so I don't want to make a league final. Last one for you. It's probably a double barrel question, but it's getting late, the lights are off, you want to go home, and you're very good for joining me. I met Kevin Dwyer before the game. I met loads of Galway people. I lived here for, I think, 11 years in total. I fancied you for Sam Maguire last year, I won't lie. I do, actually, and I'm not doing the cute tourism in Kerry or whatever. I actually fancy Galway this year, and I hope I'm wrong, and I hope it's Donegal, and I hope people are slagging me at the end of the year. What was the winter like in Galway? I met Kevin, and as I said, he's so disappointing. It felt like one. We feel that we're better. It's 2 finals and 3 years of it, right? 22, 24. I just thought, we were going to beat Armagh last year. And was it a dark winter in terms of, does it feel like one? Like, you can lose big games and you can lose Laird finals. You can lose county finals. Sometimes they feel, we weren't good enough, whatever, that can happen. Sometimes there's this feeling of, here, this was one that really got away, way more so than Kerry, I'd imagine.
Oh, absolutely. It's a winter of depression. I get shivers even looking back. If it pops up on social media, flick it away straight away. Yeah. It's left a sour taste. You don't want to be disrespectful. Armagh were deserving winners on the day and the better team, and they had a fantastic year. The way things, some great friends. I love the Donegal crew. Get on very well with Geezer. All is very gentlemanly at the end of the games, win or lose, to stop and have a good chat about football. We've had long chats together about the state of football over the last couple of years. But yeah, from the Galway perspective, it's one that got away, and it really is. And I think Pádraig summed it up best, and he's like, that's going to be there till the day we die. And it really, you don't go overkill, it's a game of football at the end of the day, but it is, in terms of its importance and the greater scheme of things and a footballing perspective, that was a real bad one to let away. Missed opportunities, the injury to Rob Finnerty, Galway just didn't perform. Shane Walsh played with an injury. Should he have played? Should the amount of changes? Should he have been taken off the frees? Dylan McHugh off the post, the Paul Connery one at the end, this block down. I could go on and on and on and on. What I would say is, I think Galway are probably a little bit blessed. And they can thank the RFRC a good bit for just bringing a freshness, because we're seeing a different sport here right now. And even that Banar situation that I think needs to be tweaked is...
Tell me about it, commentating. Jesus.
But yeah, in terms of Galway twice down to 13 players in the second half, but it's not real advantage to Donegal because they have to keep three back. Galway can have just one. So defensively, they're still sat the same, really. It's just the one up top. Yeah. It's no advantage. Now, I know you can go third level 4D chest and say, oh, put an outfielder on goal and then flip it around, you know, that sort of way. But that's a lot of hassle to be on the sideline. I think that definitely needs to be looked at. It was a similar situation in the Kerry game earlier on. They're down to 13 players as well and came on, managed to hold out defensively and then go for a burst on the end. But I do think as a whole, Galway are blessed at the fact that the FRC has come in and given that freshness. And look, you look at the sum of the parts and it looks like on paper and games are not won, and San Aguirre's are certainly not won this time of year in the league. Galway were flying in the league 2 years ago and then fell to pieces in the championship. And injuries last season was the death of us. Managed to squeeze enough out of the tank to get the All-Ireland final. Fine victory over Dublin. Squeeze past you guys in the semi-final and then was just one too far in the final. But as an overview, they have a lot of good kickers. They have a lot of man markers. John Maher is probably the most outstanding midfielder in the country. He is just a man mountain at the moment. And the likes of Shane Walsh, etc., can shoot points from distance. And you look at the stats, go, we've got the most two-pointers to date. You know, little things like that. So that has allowed a freshness. Had it been the same rules again, I think it would have been a more difficult challenge. But the thing about for Galway will be injuries, and can they get people back and can get the first choice? And I suppose the one thing that's come good out of being all the injuries is the fact that they're trying to build a little bit of a panel there now as well. So you a couple of years ago, you take Damien Comer out of the team, it's like, oh no, what the hell, what are we going to do here? I'm not saying he's going to be fighting for his place, but he's not. Doesn't need to be rushed back. He's the luxury of waiting on him. Paul Connery's taken out of the equation today. Killy McDade was rested. You know, last year they were thrown in, they're needed to. So yeah, look, you don't want to go overboard because it's still quite early. What are we, four rounds in the league? A lot of football to be played. We don't know where the rules change. Paddy Talley was chatting to him last night in Croke Park. Talked absolutely pitch perfect, like a carpet. Croke Park is like, it's a potato field out there at the moment. The greatest respect to the guys. Like, the weather has just been a basket case the last while. It's impossible to keep pitches good, and particularly with the amount of football that's been played. But like, it'll be a different game yet again in summer. How many of the rules will be changed after the league? Will they hold on to them? So many variables, isn't it? It's the most weirdest year ever. But I would say, is from an overview, from the very small sample size that we have, it feels like the standard has dropped. It's nowhere near the Dublin Kerrys were the top of the game. Maybe like the Premier League, where it was Man City back in the day, you had to be perfect to catch them. Now I think Liverpool have gone 20 points ahead of them now at the moment. It's just bizarre, isn't it? You know, Everton and Liverpool are nowhere near a good team. Just to give you that example, so like, you look across the country, Kerry don't seem to be as good as they were. Dublin have lost a lot of high-profile players. I know they've got a second wave in the last couple of weeks, but still, it's not the Dublin of old. What are we looking at? Tyrone, we're unknown. I thought might have been bounced a bit more. We'll see when they get the Errigal clearing lads back, well, how much of a difference that will make under Malachy. What are we looking at? Derry certainly have dropped back down. Mayo look like they've regressed a lot as well under Kevin McStay. You guys and Galway seem to be the higher echelon of the rest now, but it's a pretty even playing field, isn't it? Yeah. Like you wouldn't be getting the last fiver out of the pocket and just dumping it with any sort of certainty on any team right now.
It's the most even in my lifetime. That's, people can argue, and I know people love to text me and argue, and that's fine.
Haven't even mentioned Armagh.
The way or Mayo.
Well, I said Mayo. Like, how can we forget our good old dear neighbours?
I agree. It's some of its parts now. That great Dublin team, they were unplayable. They were a remorseless machine. They came through like an express train. They won the 6 in a row. Even before that, they were brilliant. I don't know how we took them out in 14 with that performance, but they're gone from the scene. That great Tyrone team we seen back in the day, we don't have that at the minute. And it's good, and it's better, and it's refreshing, and we need it. And genuinely, I think 5-6 counties can actually go on. Even look at the semi-finals last year. He's just about got over Dublin in the quarters. The semis, any one of those four could have won it. So I we're in for something good here. I promise, last one. Do you like the new rules over all? I know it's like asking, do you like movies or do you like food? Do you like food? Yeah, I like some food. I don't like others. You know what I mean? It's so broad, isn't it?
It is.
And you mentioned variables before. There's a million of them. I like some. I don't like others. I think there needs to be tweaks, but... God, it's hard on comms.
It's a different game. It is a different game. And I know, like, their mantra that Jim will tell you all the time is, we want to make this game the most exciting amateur game in the world. And look, they've definitely added elements to that. I don't know, maybe I'm an old traditionalist. I have to confess, I said too many changes at one. I wasn't necessarily sure. I wasn't necessarily in the camp that needed drastic change. Maybe that's because I'm a bit of a football nerd. I grew up here in Galway. It's football, football, football. Even if it's the most dour game of football in the world, I'll still be enthralled by it. So perhaps that perspective has to be taken to one side. Look, there's a lot of them that have made good. I'm still... The kick-out one with the rooks and the... I know it's winter football as well, so again, a huge caveat, but do we necessarily want to see 10 lads firing after a ball 20, 30 times in a game? I don't know. What's the solution? The one handing back the ball to the opposition, that just really grinds my gears.
That'll go. I just have a feeling it will go. And I was even with the club this morning, and I was watching it. It's just hard on the stomach. It's just our innate jungle type behaviour and that masculinity over here. Clear off, and you don't have to kick it away. That's fair enough. That's a tactical foul, blah blah blah, slap it out of his hands, time waste, but not physically go. It's too nice.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's in laptop conditions, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah, it's impure. What else are we looking around? I think they definitely need to change the one where you were almost hindered today, Donegal, the fact that Galway were down to 13 players.
Yeah.
That one, look, the goalie will forever be a conversation pointer. Maybe that will settle out as the game becomes a bit more faster and the fact that you will be able to boot it in over into an empty net. But, like, it's a bit farcical as well. Like, Galway bend the rules to their advantage today, but the fact that you can play two different type of goalkeepers, one for each half, with or without the elements, just seems a bit wrong, though, doesn't it? What else are we looking at? They'll definitely have to make some tweak. What will the one that they will sacrifice to keep the rest? It looks like the 3-on-3 will have to remain. It looks like the 2-pointer will probably remain as well. I personally can't fathom how they didn't leave the goal at 4 points, because I think there's a real non-benefit of going for goals right now. I know some of the tallies are up, but in the heat of battle, why would you do that and just chance yourself with 2 2-pointers? Like, you're a good sharpshooter there, like Murphy, McWherty, Buell, etc. You can rhyme off each team, any aspiration of winning All-Ireland. We'll have 5 or 6 players, they'll be able to score at ease from a 2-pointer. So why do you want to try and force your way through and try and get one more point? For what, really? There'll definitely be tweaks. I suppose as an overview, it's probably worked probably better than I anticipated. To be brutally honest, I think teams have adapted quite well to it. The one good thing, and I'll sound like the biggest hypocrite, I'm a bit mouthy with refs and on and off commentary, I just wind me up at times. Something learning that I need to take forward. But it's definitely tidied down a lot of the abuse in the referees, and that's probably not necessarily a bad thing, because I think, there's been boo-boos here and there, but by and large, referees have done quite well in challenging circumstances where they didn't have rule books. There's tweaks coming in, like, oh, we got done for a kick out last weekend for 20 seconds that I only found out after the game that was potentially a thing. And you're like, oh, right, you wouldn't mind telling us that, would you?
Yeah.
So by and large, I think the refs deserve a word of credit. They really handled the situation quite well. And players have been definitely cleaned up that aspect, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. Would I be happy that things like now remain in the championship? Probably not. I think that there is a couple of a couple of squeezes, but I suppose by and large I've been pleasantly surprised.
I am not pleasantly surprised at how beautifully articulate you are. Hopefully the next time we are in company, maybe, who knows, could be level 6 of the Hogan stand, yeah. Maybe on the, I think the 27th of July. I think
booked hotel, have you?
I was looking up dates, but I'm not getting. I never in this podcast. I gotta say, nah. We won't be near it. But as I always say that. But hopefully, you never know. Jonathan Higgins, national broadcaster, local broadcaster. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Donegal GAA podcast.
No bother. Thanks very much. Best luck for the rest of the year.
Okay, round 4 of the Alliance National Football League. Galway 21 points, Donegal 14 points, and joining me the last segment here of the Donegal GAA podcast, it's my good friend Jason Byrne, known to his legions of followers as Mosey from Kelly Beggs, but like myself is exiled in the Midlands, in brackets, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's grim down there, Paddy, isn't it? It's great to get down here watching Donegal though, when we're only an hour down the road from the likes of Galway. I think we have Mayo away in the last round as well. It'll be an easier spin for us than some of the folks from home, but it was good to get down to see Donegal in the flesh today for the first time this year, even though the result wasn't great. Bit of a crazy one here at Pear Stadium with the wind. Like, it was absolutely insane. Like, you know, you saw Patton and I think it was Shane O'Donnell trying to kick the ball there in the first half, and it was just going back out over their own heads. Like, I was chatting to Barry Cullinan here before the game, played hurling and football for Galway here many, many times, and he said he never saw the breeze as bad here as it was today. This place is always windy. We've been here for Connacht Championship packed house, Connacht finals against Galway and Mayo, and it's always windy, but today it was just different level stuff and it just caused absolute chaos.
It's a red warning if it's Dublin.
Yeah, absolutely. The schools would have been shut if this game was playing in Dublin. The game would have been called off.
There'd be no bread left on the shelves.
Like. Yeah. Like, I did think it was odd. Donegal won the toss and opted to kick against it. We were talking to Jim McGuinness downstairs and he said, you know, you're going to have to defend it sometime. And the wind just eased off a bit in the second half. But in that first half, it was crazy. And you knew just when Galway started rolling up and getting around the edge of this new scoring arc that they were just going to pull the trigger, and Shane Walsh just caused chaos in that first half. 8 points, 4 2-pointers, and they raced into that 17-1 lead. It was always going to be a bit too much, wasn't it? Even though we've seen massive swings in games, it was just far too much today, and Donegal were just a bit rusty, probably a bit tired. No one will be heartbroken going home tonight. It's no major big deal. There's no major big dent in things. They're still second in the table, coasting along nicely with Derry coming to Ballyshannon next weekend.
Matthew Tierney's red card, we had a good enough view of it here. We felt red on commentary, you know yourself, from your commentating days with Galway BFM, things happen so fast and we haven't the luxury of the screen. We thought definite red when we saw it first, but then the most staunch Donegal supporters were sending me WhatsApps and private messages and so on and saying, nah, it was a little bit harsh. What was your own interpretation of it?
I thought it was a little bit harsh. You know, it was my own friend and club mate, Hugh McFadden, that went down. You know, I doubt Hugh would go to ground like that unless he was hurt. David Coldrick, it happened kind of, you know, he was behind the incident, but someone clearly radioed into his ear straight away that it was a red card and that his decision was based on that. There was a bit of mouthing going on between the Donegal and Galway bench. It was interesting to see Porrick and Jim exchange views, maybe not along the lines of the niceties they would normally have, because, of course, they have a great friendship away from football. But I haven't seen it back properly yet, Paddy, to make a good call on it. I haven't had the chance to look at Twitter and everything else.
Who cares, I suppose?
Yeah, that's it. It's no big deal.
It's a pointless game, and yeah, 2-3 weeks we'll forget about this game.
The one big takeaway from it, and the strongest line from the quotes downstairs, which the listeners will have heard in the podcast, was that the fact that Galway went down to 14 men bang on half time and had 2 black cards in the second half, it didn't really impact them, because under the new rules you don't have to have 3 players up anymore. If you go down to 14 men you only have to have 2 players up, and if you go down to 13 men you only have to have 1 player up. So Galway played that to their advantage brilliantly in the second half and managed the game and made sure that there was no massive comeback from Donegal, even though they did make a fist of it. Darragh Whale got those couple cracking 2-pointers, and he was unlucky not to get a third when goalkeeper Conor Gleeson got a touch on it, which reduced that score back to a 1-pointer as well. So look, he'll take some positives from that second half. Pater Morgan got a decent two-pointer as well, but the big thing that the Jim was highlighting downstairs was that the fact that Galway were down to 13 men for long stretches of that second half, that Donegal weren't able to take full advantage because Galway only had to keep two players or one player in the Donegal half, and they were able to just manage and see out the game. But the wind just was in total control here. Apart from Galway in the first half, the wind just caused chaos, and that was really the deciding factor that Galway put up that huge lead. You know, no one's going to be talking about this game in a couple of weeks' time. Let's move on to Derry next weekend. And Jim was saying downstairs as well, the big thing he wants now and the biggest thing he's looking forward to is having a break in a couple of weeks, because next weekend will be 5 weeks in the spin. There's a lot of fatigue in the legs. You can see why the likes of Owen Band didn't start today. Ryan McHugh didn't feature today. Paddy McBurty, we didn't see Michael Murphy. Don't think he travelled. So,
I've met already Jason McGee, Michael Langan. Haven't seen Ord McFadden Ferry yet. Kieran McColgan's.
Yeah.
You know, and if Padraig made the All-Ireland club final, there's a spate of other players. Owen McGettigan, you know, still not back yet. Finbar Rorty wasn't here today. Mm. So it's, I wonder, Donegal fan, loads of Donegal fans were messaging me going, you know, let's just move on. We forget about this in 2 or 3 days. And then, you know, one very pessimistic person said, oh, I'm concerned today. And I'm like, oh, no, here. Oh, holy moly. Like, how could you be possibly concerned about this game? Because it nearly felt nothing at times, didn't it?
Yeah, there was no panic. Like, there was a great Donegal crowd here, but I think that's just so many of us living down the country and living in the West. There was saw a lot of Donegal people coming in through the turnstiles here who live in Galway and the surrounding areas. So it was great to see that support, but there's absolutely nobody panicking here. The team of 6 points in the board. There's 3 rounds left. Two of those games are at home against Derry and Tyrone, and then they have to go to Mayo on that last day. And you don't want to be, you know, they're going to be fairly comfortable by the time that Mayo game rolls around against the Mayo team at home, who could be fighting to stay up. And then, you know, what's the crack with the league final? Like, they don't even want to be in a league final. Did Derry and the Ulster preliminary round the following weekend? Galway are in the same boat. Galway have to go to New York, and there's many other teams in the same boat if they make their league finals. So there's just no gap there. There's no rest for the wicket. So, you know, stay in Division 1, get your results. They've had their 3 good performances, their 3 good wins. They got a few more minutes into fringe players today. A few key players were rested. And just go again against Derry next week, take your break, and then reset again for the final 2 rounds. No big deal whatsoever. Jim didn't sound too concerned downstairs. I doubt many Donegal supporters are either.
The Ulster Championship is just around the corner. In the olden days, it wouldn't have been an old currency. So we were actually messaging a few weeks ago before the league, you and I, and we were both saying, we love the first 2-3 rounds of the league. Now it's kind of like, just hurry up and get us to April the 6th, I think, 5th or 6th. I think it's the latter. So just get us into that. What's the feeling nationally? Jonathan Higgins of Galway BFM and myself were saying, there's nothing between the top 4 or 5 teams, is there? So just get prepared now for that Ulster Championship. What are they saying? You're a national broadcast journalist with the Irish Sun. What are they saying nationally, do you think, about this year's All-Ireland?
I don't know. I think it's the most wide-open All-Ireland we've had in years. Galway will still be kicking themselves over what happened last year against Armagh. Donegal will be kicking themselves over what happened last year against Galway. Kerry will be kicking themselves over what happened last year against Armagh. Dublin will be kicking themselves over what happened then against Galway. So all those teams that I've mentioned there are all still going to be in the mix big time. I don't think there's going to be any bolters in the pack outside of that. David Clifford got 3 goals today for Kerry and Tyrone. You know, signs are he's going to have a big year. He still had a big year last year, but by his own standards, maybe just fell a bit short. It's do or die for Jack O'Connor down there this year, I would say. So Dublin looked very sharp at Croke Park last night too, with Conor Callan back on board. I think it's just totally wide open, Paddy, to be honest. I think it's very, very hard to call. I know after last weekend, Donegal's odds shortened for Sam considerably, and you could see why. Peter Canavan was in the Sunday game that night, bigging Donegal up big time. You know, you'll have people from rival counties who are going to do that anyway, but I think Donegal should definitely be hoping for an All-Ireland semi-final again, at the very least. But like Donegal, Dublin, Kerry, Galway, I think, I don't know if Armagh can get back to that level again. It'll be interesting to see how they handle it. The pressure of being champions, it's very, very difficult. Like, but, you know, I think it's wide open between any of those teams that we've mentioned there. It'll be very interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, and I would imagine, there's one more thing I want to ask you. I would imagine that the result the entire weekend was actually the Donegal hurlers defeating Kerry, and you know, arguably the pick of the results across all divisions in football and hurling, just absolutely fantastic. And I know a lot of people texting, as I said earlier on, why are you not covering that? Listen, you're coming into the game here. It's impossible to be two places at once. I did say at the start of this podcast, be mainly focusing at the games I'm actually going to, but it was Donegal 5-14, Kerry 3-16, Mickey McCann and his troops. Just, he has just worked wonders with Donegal, and the game has just grown so, so much. The trajectory has been nothing short of immense over the last couple of years. So that was an Allianz Hurling League Division 2, Round 4 as well. Donegal 5-14. Kerry 3-16, and Kerry have been so successful over the past couple of years, and they had Congress as well at the weekend in Donegal. It's, there is a positive air about Donegal football, Donegal hurling, Donegal GAA, isn't there? That's some win for the hurlers.
Oh, insane. Like the boys were saying in the press box there, it's the first time the Donegal hurlers have ever beaten Munster opposition, which is quite something. You know, that's quite a stat. I'm sure there'll be a few listeners that maybe want to double check that, but as far as I know, that's correct. Why wouldn't it be?
Oh, people check everything. Yeah, don't worry, everything.
But like, I do believe that's the case, and that's a phenomenal result when you consider, you know, Kerry have been playing at Joe McDonagh Cup level and everything else in the last few years, and like Donegal have just been building nicely. There's new clubs sprouting up. You see kids with hurls now, and I would love to see a team down in Killybegs. I'm sure there's listeners at home going, "Well, yeah, clear off. We can barely field a football team at the minute." But I'd love to see hurling grow more, you know, especially in the southwest where me and you are from. I know they're developing it brilliantly over in the likes of Ballyshannon and that too. It would be great to see it linked coming right through the gap through Donegal Town and into the north of the county where the likes of Burt and Satanta have been, you know, flying the flag for so many years, up against it all the time, but they just keep on going and keep developing it. It's just brilliant. Like, I went to college here in Galway with Danny Cullen. What a hurler he is. Yeah. You know, he was walking on to the UCG Fitzgibbon team with lads who were starting for Tipperary and Galway at the time, and he was just fantastic, you know, and what a servant he's been as well. So fair play to them. I'm just delighted for that result now. It's absolutely class.
We get a combined team in our draw, Killybegs. I'm trying to think what we'd... Hollybush Gales.
Something like that, yeah. The Nick. Something to do with the Nick, maybe.
Hollybush Wolf Tone, something like that. Yeah, we'll think about that. Just finally, we both have to go home, travelling together, two Donegal men, as I said, exiled in the Midlands. Just quickly on the rules. Oh, listen, I think this could end up being really taxing and nauseating overall. I think we just want to talk about the football. But what's the murmurs in the national media around the rules? Do you think we may have... I don't think there'll be tweaks in the middle of the championship. I don't think there should be. Do you think there will be any alterations? It can happen after round five, can't it? What's the general feeling? Or are you just kind of been censored to say nothing about that at the moment?
No, but like, we haven't been given that much information ourselves. Now, they released a lot of... Jim Gavin assembled this intelligence unit to gather all the stats and everything from the first three rounds, and we were given that data via email yesterday. I've yet to delve into it properly, but there's a lot of detail there between first pass and kick pass and kick outs and everything else, so they'll reflect on a lot of that, I would say. You know, different people have been calling for different changes. I know Neil McGee was airing his concerns about kickouts, and other managers have been there and their concerns about kickouts. Jim McGuinness is the second manager in a week, I've heard, you know, go on about that one, where a team who suffers a red or a black card are only allowed, or allowed to have one less player in the other half of the pitch. It damages the punishment that you should receive when you get a red or a black card. So I do think they will look at that. And the broader scheme of things, I think any tweaks or major changes are going to come between the league and the championship, even though that gap's so small. I don't know what they're going to decide to... They mightn't change anything. They're looking at these things in enormous detail every week, and the amount of work that's going into it seems to be incredible. There have been some lapses in communication in terms of some of the changes. We've seen that from week to week. There's a time limit now in kickouts, little things like that. You know, in the first week or two, teams didn't know that if you claimed a free, you could take it from outside the arc. Wee things like that. A bit more communication wouldn't go amiss. But in terms of changes, Paddy, at this moment in time, I don't know what they could come up with. Or, you know, there may be changes around the kickout. I have that in my head in some way. But the forwards are loving the scoring arc. Like, we were talking to Shane Walsh downstairs as well. He was like a child in a sweet shop, you know. You couldn't blame him.
Like us and Supermax in an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Cormac Egan from Offaly, we were talking to him during the week as well. It's just a child in a sweet shop. And he was playing Sigerson while going in and out of a Sigerson team and then going into the Offaly team. And then he said, going back, Sigerson playing in the old money. He said he absolutely hated it. So we'll see. The players are loving it anyway. A lot of managers are having different says and different things, but we'll just have to see how it all pans out. But it is a very different game, especially when you see it here today in a gale. But it's the summer football when we're in Clonus, hopefully end of April or Croke Park in June, July. That's when we'll know if these rules are working or not.
You're buying me a feed.
I am.
You bet the brain. We can't come to Galway without going to Supermax, can we not?
No, no, we have to go to Supermax, yeah. You can have whatever you want. You were very good today.
We'll stop on the motorway on the way home. Jason Byrne off the Irish Sun, a proud son of Kelly Beggs. Thanks so much for joining me here on the Donegal GAA podcast.
Anytime, Paddy. Thank you.
No doubt we'll be touching base with the great man Mosey over the coming weeks and months. Okay, folks, that's it for the weekend's edition of the Donegal GAA podcast. Once again, massive congratulations to the Donegal Hurlers. Donegal 5-14, Kerry 3-16 in the Alliance Hurling League Division 2 Round 4. And the men's team here in Pearced Stadium, Salt Hill, it finished also in Round 4. It finished Galway 21 points. Donegal 14, and earlier on today a draw for the Donegal ladies. Donegal 1 goal and 7 points, Roscommon 10 points. So that's it, as I said, for the weekend edition of the Donegal GAA podcast. Massive shout out to you, our loyal listeners who are tuning in right throughout the globe. We hope you're well and keeping safe. Donegal take on Derry in Ballyshannon next Sunday in South Donegal, and I want to give a big shout out to Austin O'Callaghan back at base, who gets these podcasts out in rapid time. And that's pretty much it from a wet and windy Pearce Stadium. Bye for now, stay safe, and we will talk to you next week.
FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.